Hey there, welcome to this episode of What's the Truth. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today's episode is about building connection with others while keeping your boundaries. And we have special guest, Nicole Eunice. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I absolutely loved my conversation with Nicole. One, because I get really passionate about boundaries, but also community. And I think sometimes we have to choose one or the other, or we really don't set boundaries because there's this expectation that because they're family or friends or close relatives that we can't have boundaries in place or certain things that we know that trigger us and how to take care of ourselves emotionally and spiritually while still showing up for our best. So Nicole brings 20 years of leadership and counseling experience to her work as a coach and a communicator. And you can tell by our episode together that we just go back and forth. And she's so wise about being clear, but being kind. And, you know, Nicole's passion is facilitating environments of safety and vulnerability so that individuals and communities can courageously identify obstacles, keeping them from maximum potential. She has books, she has videos, she writes all kinds of things on her latest book, The Miracle Moment, how tough conversations can actually transform your most important relationships. So of course, nonetheless, we get to talk about community, we get to talk about boundaries. So this episode is really for you if you want to have community, if you want to be around people, but people can be tricky, right? We're all tricky people. But if we just feel like we don't know where to put a line or to communicate effectively so that you feel like others are hearing you, this episode is definitely for you. Another thing, before we get into the episode, I want to make sure that you sign up for my Chase God, Not Your Feelings guide, because I know I keep saying this, but the book is coming, I promise. I cannot wait for the chapter to come out and for you to see the cover and just all the extra things that you as a podcast listener. So one, make sure you hit follow right here on the podcast so you subscribed and get all the updates every time there's a new episode, but there's going to be exclusives just for you. Yep, just for you as a listener for when the book comes out and is released. Until then, signing up to get the guide, how to live by faith and not by what you feel, is going to be the perfect segue into the book. Without further ado, make sure you sign up, get your guide below, hit follow right here on this podcast, and let's get to the interview. Nicole, I am so thankful today just to have this conversation with you about really healthy conversation and being in community really with boundaries. I know they're kind of two different topics, but I think they blend well together.
Sure.
And what about this topic really interests you the most?
So being in community and keeping healthy boundaries. I think the thing about boundaries that's so interesting is, first of all, people use that word. It's like a buzzword now. And I always want to be like, what does that mean to you? Is it like, when you say boundaries, are you telling me about your ability to say no? Or are you saying boundaries because you've been in bad relationships before and you're like, I didn't have boundaries, you know? So what I like to do is start with the definition of boundaries, which to me is the healthy use of your resources. Like, boundaries are in place so that you know what your resources are and you deploy them effectively in the way that you want. And I think that helps us when we talk about community, because it's not necessarily, it is about our yes and no, but it's about a lot more than that. It's about me being aware of the resources that I have in my control that I've been given and gifted, and the way that I deploy those. So it might mean that when I'm in community, like if you, Jessica, if you and I lived in the same neighborhood and one of us was going through a hard time, I might decide to extend myself on behalf of you by setting up a meal train or like whatever. And I'm using my resources proactively in the way that I want. And that is a healthy boundary. There might be another case where that wouldn't be a healthy use of my boundaries. So I like to help people think, hey, this is about the assets that you have available to you, your time, your money, your resources, your emotional energy, your physical strength. It's about those things, you getting to deploy those effectively for the life that you want to live.
Yeah. And I think, can you even just maybe add on like the season of life, right? Because mm-hmm. I think every season changes. What about some practical examples, even like emotional boundary?
Yeah.
We think of, you can have phone boundaries. I mean, sure. Even physical bounds, like, can you maybe give an example to what you just kind of said, you know, the definition absolutely. Of it?
Yeah. Because like all of our boundaries are about how we protect those assets so that we can use them for the purposes that God has for us in our life. So for instance, if I have said that I want to be a present and available parent, and I recognize that my relationship with my phone keeps me from being present and available, a boundary that I would put in place with my phone would be so that I could deploy my assets correctly. One of my big things right now, again, season of life, not everyone here is a parent, but we all go through different seasons. And I had no idea. I'm a parent of teenagers right now, all teenagers, three. I didn't really apprehend the emotional energy that would take. It takes less physical energy than when I had little kids, but they need my emotional resources for them, which means a boundary for me is that I have to say no to some friendships and some obligations and some opportunity, because those things take emotional energy, not necessarily bad energy, but I have a finite amount of energy to give. And if I've decided this is my priority in this season, then I'm going to put my yeses and nos, put up those boundaries around what's going to allow me to deploy those assets. Now, for someone else, their life might not be the same. They may not have that same experience. Maybe they have more emotional capacity than I do, in which case it's like, great. Like, your boundaries might look different than mine. But what it's really about for me is being able to be confident and secure in what I have to offer and the yeses and nos that I need to put in place in order to offer that. And we can talk about unhealthy and toxic relationships separately. This to me is just about like everyday life. I feel like I wish more of us would see like your energy, like really the spirit with which you live your life and the things that you bring to the world is your greatest asset. So understanding how that energy is deployed and what sucks it away and what fills you up is a big part of coming into your own and really being a free and full person.
I think when we hear boundaries, it's like, it is a big word. Mm-hmm. We go, oh my gosh, I have to, it's like a line that you think people are going to see, but it's such subtle things that, you know, not picking your phone up at a red light. That's about like just setting these things up for yourself so that you aren't feeling every 5 seconds with something to do or, you know, something to say or whatever. So can you talk about how boundaries can actually help cultivate healthy relationships? And then we can also talk about with somebody that might be an unhealthy or just a really hurting person that would be as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason that boundaries over time, now, if you haven't been a boundaried person, and that would be like, if you like are terrified of disappointing people, if you are a real people pleaser, you really love the approval of people and peacekeeping, which is a lot of us, right? If that's you, boundaries can be hard at first. But over the long term, what happens when you're a person of boundaries is you actually are a person of integrity. And a lot of people don't realize that when they give out reluctant yeses, like when I give my yes out of a place of reluctance, I am not being an honest person. Like, I'm not having integrity. And what happens over time is we end up being usually anxious, reactive, or resentful when we don't know how to say no to the things that we need to say no to. And then people around you, I want to say this as gently as I can and out of love, but I hope it will resonate. People around you can't trust you. They don't trust your word because they don't know if you're giving like a very enthusiastic yes and you really mean it, or if it's a reluctant yes and you don't really mean it. And then there's like some passive aggressive or anxiousness or resentment or reaction. And I don't want to be that. And you don't want to be that. And we don't want to be that. So if I'm at the, like you said, the phone at the red light, if I'm at the red light and I pick up my phone and there's a text that I need to answer and I choose to answer it and I answer it out of this place of like, why are you texting me? you know how that goes in our head. What I need to be able to say is like, I want to be a person who's present where I am. And that's why I'm not picking up my phone at the red light. Like, rather than thinking of it as rules, we need to think about, who am I becoming? Who do I want to become? And then what choices do I need to be, make to become that? So like for me, I want to be like, I want to be an enthusiastic yes that is fully engaged in the commitments that I've made, right? Because I've been a person in the past and still struggle all the time with limits and limitations. I just like to say yes to a lot of things. Yeah. So I've had to say to myself, I want to be a person who gives a very enthusiastic yes and is 100% present. So, and then in that, so is all the work of the yeses and the nos, and what do I need to say no to? And when I do say yes to something, how do I show up fully for that yes? Like I had a meeting this morning for one of my enthusiastic yeses at 7:30 this morning. I did not want to go to a 7:30 in the morning. I did not want to do it, but I could remind myself, wait, Nicole, this was your enthusiastic yes. Like this was your obligation that you want to serve in. So like show up present, show up fully. And that's what I desire for us to see is like when you mitigate, when you use your energy in that way, you're able to live an actually more free life. It's not a more restrictive life. It's a more free life for the people around you. And that's why those boundaries can be so helpful.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed that the more that I become assertive, It's very less actually accepted in today's culture because mm-hmm. if your no is no and your yes is yes, people look at you as almost aggressive. Mm. And I have learned there's this fine balance between the two. And I don't know if maybe you have experienced this or you could speak into it, is sometimes that when we say no, they almost become offended. And I'm just saying mm-hmm. no in like, that's just one, you know, circumstance, but it's almost like, they're like, oh my gosh, like she's saying no, you know, cause you're respecting that boundary. And like you said, it's going to be hard in that beginning. Mm-hmm. So how do we let our yes be our yes and our no be our no, or when we're setting these boundaries, how do we honor and keep that integrity? Cause integrity is huge for me. Mm-hmm. We keep that integrity within ourselves, but also how do we then nurture that other relationship? And there's levels, I get it. The ones that are close to you, acquaintances, maybe even you might have to nurture a little bit. Other people outside the circles, you don't. But how do we nurture those people of just saying like, I'm honoring this. This doesn't have to do with you per se.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
I think so. I think you're, I don't want to probe too much in case it's not a conversation, like not a story you want to share, but so I'm going to just insert a story. Is that good?
Yeah. Just
let's pretend that we're talking about like our sister-in-law. Okay. So it's like a relationship that we have that we want to maintain, but that person maybe pushes beyond what we can offer. And we get into this, like, that's probably a very familiar place for a lot of people. It's like, well, I hear what you're saying about boundaries, but this is a person who has to be in my life, or it's a coworker or someone that I'm going to stay in relationship with. And I feel like when I do say no, it's received really poorly. And that makes me feel bad. So what I like to say is, I think we live with this ridiculous lie that we're like infinite. Like there is no such thing as a limit. There's just like, we can just say yes and we're not saying no to anything. So what I try to help my clients, leaders I work with see is like, imagine if you had a pie chart and in the circle is how much energy you have. And if you say yes to this person, you have to say no to something else. So it's not about if you're disappointing someone, it's about who you're disappointing. And I force that negative space, that negative tension with people so that they can see reality. Like the reality is, if you say yes to a thing that you shouldn't do, you're saying no to yourself. Like there is something that you are removing from your life. You didn't get your workout, you didn't do your devotion, or you're saying no to your children. You're saying no to your husband. You're saying no to things that were in place in that space. So the question is, who do you want to disappoint? The question is not if you're going to disappoint someone, it's who are you going to disappoint? And when you stack it up that way and you're like, well, it's pretty important that I stay in some self-care. I'm very committed to my marriage and that takes a certain amount of time. I'm called to my children. That takes a certain amount of time, or I'm called to my work. And that means I need this much time. So basically I don't have a choice. If I want to not disappoint those people, I have to choose to disappoint this person. And when we can get more comfortable with that, you can be less, the real freedom comes when you don't respond or react to how the other person responds or reacts. You just are able to let it go. You're not seeing it as aggressive. You don't receive that from them. You basically have, I like to call it the Glinda, the Good Witch ball around you. Like from Wizard of Oz, she kind of floats in on this bubble, right? And it's like in her bubble, everything is fine. And if we could all have a little bit of that bubble around us, it's like, I've evaluated this and like, I have options on who to disappoint. And I just have to do it this way. And I hope that you'll be okay with it. The other thing that can really help with the sister-in-law example is what I like to tell people is if you have an aggressive person in your life, let's say who wants more from you, they just want more from you than you're able to give. And that's just the dynamic that's in play and you feel it and you know it. What I like to say is if you're the person who has less to give, be more proactive about choosing and setting up time with them. Be in charge of the relationship. Like, don't wait for them to ask you five times to do five things that you don't want to do. Offer them what you can give and be like, hey, Susie, I have a lot of going on at work, but you're really important to me. Would you be interested in having lunch next week? I have an hour of time. So what I'm saying is, hey, I don't have unlimited time for you, but I can give you this hour. And if you want to say no to me, that's fine. Like, but I'll proactively pursue this relationship in the form that I need. I often tell people with difficult parent relationships, hey, call your parent when you're 20 minutes away from a meeting that you need to go to and say to your parent, hey, I have 20 minutes until I need to be in a meeting and I wanted to call and check in. I'm setting up boundaries where I'm still pursuing the relationship, but I'm doing it within guidelines that work for me.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think it's a perfect example. I didn't have anyone's story in my mind, but there are people in my life where if I have to speak up about, I don't want to talk about this or let's change the subject.
Yeah.
It is very, not taken sometimes well. And I have these in different relationships and business relationships and things like that. And it's often offends that other person thinking that I don't care. You know, kind of thing, but I'm trying to guide the conversation in a healthy way back to truth. Does that make sense? And so I think you kind of teed up the next question I was going to talk about, like, how do we honor people, even though we're setting up boundaries? You know, you kind of use it in that last example. I don't know if you want to give more examples, but because we're not just like, get out of my life, you know, I can't be on my, like, it's very much these, we're setting boundaries and lines without really people seeing them per se. Yeah. You know, they're so subtle. So how can we honor really people with that?
I really like what you just shared as an example, because that's a really good example of what do we do when we feel like someone is not prying, but they want to talk about something that we don't want to talk about. And we know, like, they do. I mean, one of the reasons that people come across as offended is because they're actually embarrassed because they feel like, oh, I've overstepped a line, and it can come across offended. So if we can have compassion for like, hey, it's hard to be told no, especially if you had good intent, right? So we'll assume that the intent was good. So I like to say something like, I like to walk toward the person with one step with my communication. So that one step would be like, hey, Susie, I love that you asked that because I really do feel like you're wanting to pursue your own growth, or you're wanting to pursue getting to know me better. And I really appreciate that. So I've taken one step forward. I've affirmed the person. I've confirmed that I like them, right?
Yeah.
And then from that one step, I can say, that's an area in my life that I'm really still working through. So I'm not quite ready to talk about it. But again, I'm so grateful that you'd be interested. And then ask another question, like, right away. Like, don't let them sit in their embarrassment, because I get that. I know that feeling when you feel like, oh gosh, like, I didn't mean to offend. And then they can come across as super defensive. And it can sound really defensive. And they're like, that's a normal thing. And like, don't you want to talk about it? And really, they're just being defensive out of their embarrassment. They're not trying to like push you. Some people are trying to push you, but like, some people aren't. Some people just, conflict is the way, like, being aggressive is the way that they know how to communicate. So when you can say something like, I'm going to walk towards you, I'm going to have a boundary here, I'm going to walk away, and I'm going to give you another question so I can redirect our conversation and be like, but tell me, like, if they're like, well, how is that challenging relationship with your dad affected your beliefs about fitness, you know, or whatever. And you're like, that's not something I talk about. But you could be like, but tell me why, how is that working for you? How are you seeing that play out in your life? Like, move it back into their arena and let them give what they want to give pretty quickly. And I just had the same experience, Jessica, where someone brought something up and I feel like she just stepped into a space that I wasn't willing to talk about. And I didn't know her that well. And I could tell that I responded out of my own emotion in a way that made her feel really bad. So she was trying to walk her way out of it, and the whole thing was awkward, and I didn't do it that well. So for your listeners, this is a constant, like, we're all a work in progress. But I found, like, what I needed to do when I got my wits around me in this meeting, it was in a group too. So it was like, everyone felt awkward. What I needed to do was like, re-engage her with a different question, like stay in relationship, stay connected, like still keep showing up with like love and affirmation so that that person felt better. Cause she didn't mean to do that. And I did respond pretty emotionally in a way that if I was on the receiving end of it, I would have felt really bad. So
yeah,
there's an example.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I think another thing, and we'll kind of wrap up here, is a lot of the women that I've worked with, and I'm sure the people that you've worked with, is boundaries are often hardest with the ones closest.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easier to set up an acquaintance with somebody at church or a small, like people that you kind of maybe see every once in a while. Yeah. So how can you encourage those, you know, to where I just keep thinking of people in my mind where they let very close siblings and stuff run over them. And they're just like, I can't do it or whatever, you know, those kind of things. What kind of encouragement can you have for people that have such a hard time with those closest to them?
Yeah.
And then actually sticking to it.
Yeah. Well, the closest to us is like pro level. So usually with my leaders that I work with or teams, I ask a few questions. I'm like, hey, have you ever like said no when the grocery store asks you for your email? Like I basically try to get them to start further out and then move in, because a lot of times people will say that they're good with their boundaries for our way, but when I probe a little bit, they actually are really, it's really hard for them. It's like really hard to say no. And I'll say like, have you said no to a work associate? So practicing your no before you get to the closer relationships, because those are much more difficult, is kind of where I usually start. So how can you get stronger at your yeses and nos in a way with friendships, whatever, so that when you get to those closer relationships, and a lot of times those closer relationships, they may take a little bit more work. So I say like, let's start with some really small baby no's and let's work together to see how your sibling, your parent, your in-law responds to a baby no. And you need some healthy relationships in your life that you can run these things by. So if you're like, hey friend, like I need to talk to my mother-in-law about the fact that Thursday night doesn't work for me for us to get together. And I feel like she's going to take it really poorly. Is it weird to you? Like if I changed our plans for next Thursday night, would you be offended? How would you feel about that? And if your friend's like, no, that'd be perfectly fine. It's like checking in on, is this healthy? Is this normal? Is this fine? Because dysfunctional relationships tend to be contagious. Like they're just dysfunctional both directions.
Yeah.
So getting into those healthy spaces will actually help you be more healthy in those closest relationships.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so true, because like you just said, the unhealthy ones where you really don't know what is truth anymore. And that person has
kind of lose it. Yeah.
The person has kind of told you for so long, well, this is just the way that you are and you have to do this and you're my daughter. Or you're, you know, like all these things that you should be taking care of him, or I'm just throwing things out
there. And a lot of times, I mean, it's funny when you throw those things out there too, Jessica, because a lot of times those are just things we assume based on action. Like, yes, there are some pretty tyrannical relationships and relations out there in the family sphere. But honestly, more of it is like passive aggressive manipulation. And we've believed a lot about what they're trying to say to us. And sometimes I want to say like, time out. Like, how do you know that that's what your mother-in-law really thinks? Like you're just feeling that based on how she acts, but how could we just like rewrite the script and be like, maybe she doesn't feel that way. She never said that. She's not. So why are you operating with this subtext that you don't have to operate with?
Yeah.
Let's try to operate in the open. Now that is very difficult. It takes a lot of practice.
It does.
But no. It's possible. It's possible.
I agree. You know, for me, just, you know, work relations and family, helping somebody move from passive aggressive, even my husband, sometimes I'd be like, what do you mean?
Right.
Once you recognize passive aggressive, because they're really saying what they want, but they're saying in a very sarcastic way or, you know, so that they're kind of tiptoeing around. Yeah. And I try to be the person that says, what is it that you really want or need? Like stop being.
Or like you can use the Brené Brown, because again, to be loving, because
a lot of times
we see it and we're like, we're ready to snipe in and like be snipers who are like, I know what you're doing, you know, and that's not that loving. But we can say like, hey, when you say to me, like, you never make dinner, just kidding. I'm not sure what you mean by that. And like, I feel insecure because I think that you mean that you wish that I made dinner more, but I'm not sure that's what you mean. So like sort of a more gentle and like enter into like, hey, this is the subtext that I read from that. Is that what you meant? And if your spouse or friend or roommate or whatever says, no, that's not what I meant, well, then don't act like that's what they meant. Even if they did mean it, don't play in, don't play into bad communicating. Just be like, hey, well then I'm not sure why you said that. It did hurt my feelings. However, if there is a time that you want to talk about, like how we make meals together, I would love to talk about that. And just like leave it there, because you're helping someone else also become a better communicator by being more clear.
And I think you're basically what you were doing too, is just repeating their words back to them in a question.
Yeah. And it, but with love, like it's really like I desire, and that's, I try to tell people a lot in the Miracle Moment, the book I just wrote, like convey your commitment up front. It really helps people. Like if you say like, man, you're important to me. And if there's something here that you want to talk about, I just want to make sure that we have space to talk about it. Like when you start with you're important to me, or if there's something that you want me to know, I actually really want to hear it. Cause we also are often have huge blind spots and we don't realize like, what if this person has tried to tell me something five times and I've been like super defensive or ignored them, or they feel like I come across like I hung the moon and I don't know it. Like, who knows? You don't know how you're coming across necessarily to someone else. So when you enter in with humility and gentleness and you're just like, hey, you're important to me. And if there is something between us that's going on, that's kind of what I'm reading into this. I would love to know it. I want to be better. I want to be different. I want to work that out. That is so disarming to people that they, it is, you will, they will be very disconcerted in a really good way if you can do that. And that is, again, pro level. Start with the easier relationships and then move up to like mother-in-law or like, you know, that, that level can be different.
Mother, father. And I, my husband and I, before we got married, one of the things that we agreed on was like, be the first to say sorry. Cause when somebody's saying sorry to you, it is very hard to almost continue to yell at them or scream at them. And like, especially if it's this very, like, I am truly sorry, you know, it really disengages and puts water on the fire, so to speak, you know,
especially if you can name what you're sorry for.
Yes.
Which is what I try to teach, like, hey, cause a lot of people say, I'm sorry, but, and then they give excuses and defenses for why they did what they did. So really being able to stop and be like, what did I just do that I'm not proud of? And it could be like, I really am truly sorry that I raised my voice. And I, this just happened to me last week with my son. I was really frustrated with him. And I said some things that I didn't want to say, but I was still really frustrated with him.
Yeah.
And it took all, I was like, Jesus, please, Holy Spirit, come on in, take over. Because I knew, because I wrote a book on it, like I knew I needed to just offer that one way apology. Like, we can talk later about the situation that we were, you know, like I could talk with him later about why I was frustrated, but that doesn't ever, I had no excuse for like speaking unkindly, like it just being, you know, insulting. So I really pulled it together and I was like, hey, I am so, I am sorry for sharing, for saying hurtful words. I shouldn't have done that. End scene. Like, don't say anything else. Just like, let it end there. Then later I can revisit, hey, can we talk about like how we got to that moment and what was going on there and how I was receiving what you were saying. And that is a really, like, if you can learn to do that and just truly do apologies when you just are outside of your integrity, if you like gossip about someone, speak strongly, speak in a way that's condescending or irritated or call names or whatever, like you should just apologize for that no matter what. And then you can revisit how you got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely a practice my husband and I put in. And sometimes I'll even ask him, I'm like, do you know why you're sorry? Cause sometimes, sometimes men just aren't aware. And they know that they are sorry, but they don't really know. I'm like, do you understand what happened in this situation? You know what I mean? Like, or why I was upset. And then we go back and forth in dialogue, but it really is this like open invitation though, to have that, you know, talk through what just happened. So anyways, this has been amazing. Thank you so much
for
hanging out with me.
Absolutely.
Where do you want people to go to like learn about more about this or learn about you?
You guys can... I'm sure we'll put it in the show notes, but you can just find me on Instagram if that's the easiest. Or you can just come over to my website, NicoleEunice.com, and everything about The Miracle Moment's there. You can find it anywhere books are sold. And Jessica's coming over on my podcast. So you guys come on over and visit.
Yes. And the name of your podcast is?
Let's Be Real.
Awesome.
Let's be real. I'll come find me.
I love the title of the podcast as well. So I'll have all those links in the show notes below. Make sure you guys go find her. And I will talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks.